listening to Orange County's only station with critical business from Mass with Rick Franzi and Doug Geveller.
Good afternoon and welcome to Critical Mass. This is your host, Rick Franzi, and you are listening to the 96th installment of this wonderful program hosted live here on OCTalkRadio.net, the voice of Orange County business community. I'm Rick Franzi. I'm your host. My business partner, Doug Geveller, and I co-host this business talk show, which airs Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 4 p.m. here on the West Coast in California in the United States, beamed around the world on via the internet at OCTalkRadio.net. Woohoo! My producer likes it when I mention the name of the station. I'm getting much positive support for that. So anyway, no problem. You might be listening to this somewhere else in the world. Who knows? You might be listening to this at some future date. I do not know, because we then immediately turn these live broadcasts into MP3 podcasts, make them available through a variety of different locations and sites. We have over 300 various sites around that subscribe to our radio show and automatically post our MP3 podcast to their site. So who knows how you're listening to this show, but I'm just glad that you're here and joining us today. We're going to have a great time talking with Curtis Good of Newport Exterminating, but not quite yet. I've got a couple other things to get to before we get to him. Our show is the goal of our show, I should say, is to help business owners and top executives and executives make better, more informed decisions. And we do that by interviewing thought leaders and executives who have what Doug and I have termed transferable knowledge and ideas. Our show is an extension of our senior business practice, where we build CEO peer groups for presidents and CEOs and business owners and key executives. And we're about to launch a forum for chairman of the board, should say chair people. But anyway, it's called the Chairman's Forum. So if you're listening to my voice and you're a chairperson and you would like to be around a group of your peers on a regular basis, learning best practices in not just governance, but in leadership and communication, as well as other facets of running a successful board, public, private, nonprofit, reach out to Rick Franzi and Doug Geveller. We'll be happy to talk to you about the opportunity to possibly joining one of the many boards that we lead here in Orange County, California. Recently, my book, Critical Mass, has been called The Definitive Guide to the CEO Peer Group Experience, and it's available for sale on Amazon.com. I would suggest that you check it out. You can find it by linking to our website, which is criticalmassforbusiness.com, Critical Mass for Business, and you'll see information on the book. You'll see information on our coaching practice, Doug's coaching perspective. He's a master certified coach. He's been doing coaching for 16 years in Orange County. Is at the top of the pyramid, if you will, in coaches, executive coaches in the county. Kind of coaches for the stars, if you want to think of them that way. We also do many other services for our members and clients here in the community. One of the things that we do is we host Executive Comics Month. The most recent one was Tuesday of this week. That would be March 23rd for those of you that are listening at some future date. And it was attended by 100 executives who heard a panel talk about, did we just go through a 100-year storm, or was that recession something that has fundamentally altered and affected the future of business for the long term? It was a spirited conversation. Doug led the roundtable panel discussion. I had the good opportunity to be able to talk about the latest Orange County Index, which was covered both the executive conference and the index in a recent article in the Orange County Register. A couple things that I wanted to talk to you about that I thought of particular interest and that our guests found interesting about the Orange County Index. That is also available on our website. If you go there, you can actually download the presentation that I gave at the executive conference. You can download a couple of the other presentations that some of our guests have made. You can see pictures of some of the guests that we had in attendance, the 100-strong executives and business owners that attended the execs. It was a rousing morning that went very fast, I'll tell you, and we're 100% of the people who took the post-executive conference survey to help us to continue to improve the experience, 100% of them said they want to come to the executive conference, which will be in August. That means everyone who came, who took the time to fill out the survey, said this was a valuable time and I want to be a part of the future community. It's limited seating. We only can really hold about 100 to 120 comfortably in the room, and we're getting pretty close capacity as well as the registrations and the guests that show up. So it's just another way that Doug and I continue to offer value to the Orange County business community. We believe by bringing them together on a regular basis and learning, sharing, and growing together, we're helping them to not only network within the community, but to learn from one another. This radio show is a vibrant way that we do that by bringing on guests and talking about business issues. We know for a fact that business owners learn best from the examples and experiences of their peers here in the county. And so it's great to be able to bring in people like Curtis Good of Newport Exterminating. I was really impressed the first time I met with Curtis about the work that he and his wife and the organization is doing to really differentiate their firm, and the work that Curtis is doing personally, being very involved in organizations, committees, and groups outside of work, his industry, both from a regulatory perspective as well as from kind of future growth, etc. So I think you're going to enjoy that because Curtis's experience, in my opinion, and the things that he's doing is a transferable learning event for other business owners to or in different industries that maybe kind of learn from his best practices in this area. So I'm getting the thumbs up from my producer that Curtis is going to be ready in just a few minutes. So we'll be getting to him shortly. It gives me the opportunity to spend a little bit more time with you on Orange County Index. One of the key things that jumped out at our audience and me as I presented it was we ask a question. We ask the respondents of the Orange County Index, and we send it out to our radio show listening audience, which now totals close to 1,000 executives. When do you expect your firm to be growing? Today, in 3 months, 6 months, or not sure? And the respondents that said their firm is growing today were 45% of the total respondents, which was interesting because that's a significant number and maybe somewhat contrary to what we may be reading here in the mainstream media. And it's also double what was said 6 months ago, which surprised us 6 months ago that 22% of the firms responded they were growing in that quarter. And now to see that that has increased so significantly is a part of the reason why we bring the audiences together, because we believe that the best information is gleaned from each other, which leads me to another question that was asked of our audience, of our Orange County Index survey audience. Who do you consider has the best understanding for what is happening in the economy? They had four choices: the media, the politicians, advisors like CPAs and other trusted advisors, or their peer business owners. What was interesting, and we have seen a steady downward trend in the response since that picked media and politicians. I can safely say unequivocally that it's not going to get any lower than it did this quarter, because no one of our respondents, zero, selected the media or politicians, had an understanding for what is happening in the economy. Conversely, 96% of the respondents said that their fellow peer business owners and executives understood what was going on, which further reinforces that this radio show, which gives you the opportunity to hear from your peers, is a great way to learn about what's going on in the business community. And it is very rewarding that we're able to be able to present these guests on a thrice weekly schedule. The critical mass for business community continues to expand here in Orange County by virtue of members in our peer groups, radio show guests, where we're interviewing 3 to 6 a week and bringing them into the community. We have a vast network of service providers who come to our community to provide knowledge and information in a safe and protected environment where they can engage as peers with the business owners. It's an outstanding way for an executive here in the county to get connected to a community of people who together help everyone make better, more informed decisions. And so one of our newer members of the Orange County and Critical Mass business community relative to our community, he's been a longstanding business owner and executive here in the county, is Curtis Good of Newport Exterminating. I spoke a little bit about the activities and reason why we've asked him to be our guest today. So let's bring Curtis on the line. And Curtis, welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show.
Hi, Rick. How are you doing?
I am fine today, sir. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you for being our guest today. And let's get right into the interview, Curtis. And could you talk to our audience about your path to Newport Exterminating?
Prior to Newport Exterminating, I had a small trucking firm that I was spending a lot of days away from home and nights and on the road quite a bit and very lonely at times. And we were in the middle of purchasing a new home and had an opportunity. The seller of that property also owned Newport Exterminating at that time, and he was the original owner, and he was interested in either bringing in a partner or selling out completely the business, and we had an opportunity to buy in as half, and we did back in, I was introduced to the business, I think it was in 1979 or 1980, and had an opportunity to do some ride-alongs, and the business kind of fit my aptitude. I liked, being out in the field and being home every night, so that was kind of the path to getting involved with Newport Exterminating.
So that's 30 years ago. You said 1980, right?
Yeah, been some time, yes.
So you were a very young man when you got involved with Newport Exterminating, weren't you?
Well, I kind of like to think I'm still pretty young, Rick.
Of course you are. So here we are, fast forward now 30 years into the future. I'm not sure when you decided to, join the firm and buy part ownership and then take total control of it later, but can you... You would envision that the firm is doing what it's doing today because it has several different divisions and several different areas of focus. Can you talk to our audience about Newport Exterminating and help them to understand how you've currently constructed this business?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, when we originally got involved, it was a very small company, 3 to 4 employees. Under today, we employ over 50 employees. Under the umbrella of pest control, which most people are probably not aware of, there's multiple licenses and a variety of different types of work. If you just go into the yellow pages, there's general pest control companies that handle the ants, fleas, roaches, and all rodent programs and all that kind of stuff. And then in addition, then there's the termite side, which a lot of people get involved with termite inspections when they start seeing problems around the home. Or if they get ready to sell their home, a lot of times the real estate agents will bring in a company to do a third-party termite inspection in that. And then in addition, under that umbrella of termite, then there's several categories there, which we're very involved. Our company employs about 8 individuals that do nothing but structural repair. So, and we get pretty extensive into the structural repair side. And then there's also the fumigation aspect. If homes have, pretty severe infestation, drywood termites. A lot of times they need fumigations where you have to put tents over homes. Also, we perform a lot of local type treatments if minor infestations or for whatever reasons, maybe the individuals do not want to perform a fumigation. We perform a great deal of local type treatments. And then outside of that, we also have what are called QAL licenses, which enable us to do right-of-ways and other types of pest control work for ag-type applications, right-of-ways, streets, and gopher-type work, which is a whole other category of licenses. So under Newport Exterminating, we're a full-licensed pest control firm.
And you work for property managers as well, right?
Yeah, actually, we've grown substantially in that area. We have some of the largest companies that own a lot of apartment communities that we service. Some of the largest companies around with 80 or more apartment communities of 400 or 500 residents that we service those. And then in addition to that, homeowner associations, we found a very, very good niche there for performing a variety of services that for what we refer to as HOAs, homeowner associations, doing termite, general pest control, rodent control, and a variety. So we have a variety of type customers that way.
So could you give our audience a sense for your relative size? Can you share with us sort of in your market segments, Where does Newport Exterminating kind of place as far as the size of firm?
Yeah, that's a very good question. We're not considered a small company, but we're not a nationwide company. There's a national trade magazine, PCT, which is Pest Control Technologies, and we've been listed in there as the 72nd largest company in the nation, and they base it on revenue size. But we primarily, as a company, which that sounds kind of large by that number, we primarily just service Orange County. I'm in my office each and every day. You know, I visit with my employees each and every day, and all of our employees come to one central location. So we're very centrally located, and primarily, you know, 95-98% of our work is performed right here in Orange County.
But yet you're big enough to be able to provide a variety of services. I'm sure some of your clients probably take advantage of the different things you do. And it's interesting to me, as I've learned about your industry through our conversations, how much it has evolved, you know, how much different it is, I guess, to be a termite specialist, from pest control, from fumigation, and really what's required for that is, in addition to the licensing, but the expertise to use, you know, to be able to make the applications. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit, but I'm not sure that the general listening audience who maybe aren't familiar with your industry really realizes how far that your industry has advanced in recent years.
Yeah, those are good questions. A lot of people, you know, you perceive our industry as, you know, you just call and that, you know, we can come out and identify, you know, everything and all the situations for you. It's very technical, actually. Under the umbrella of Structural Pest Control Board, there's three licenses there, which we have Branch 1, which is your fumigator. That enables that licensees to go out and perform the duties of the fumigation, where you put tents over homes. Branch 2 is the individuals that go out and identify and make recommendations and applications for general pest control. And then the Branch 3 license is the termite side. And then that allows them to go out and make the inspections and recommendations for all your termite needs. In addition to that, which your audience may not be aware of, we have to first, once you get what's called a field rep in any one of those licenses, you have to have at least generally minimum of about 4 years of experience before you're even eligible that you can go on to even what we call an operator's license. So you have to have that 4 years of service before you qualify to take the operator's license, and then that would enable you to go back and enable you to take that test. You pass that test and enables you to own and operate a business.
Wow. And that's part of what we're going to be talking about in a few minutes, is kind of your involvement with trade associations and committees and involvement beyond your firm and your industry. But before we get there, Curtis, could you share with our audience of all the things that you've learned in the 30-plus years that you've been in business, a guiding principle that you use to lead Newport Exterminating today?
Ooh, that's a big question. Probably the biggest one is, don't act too quickly on information. I've been burned by that. There's two sides to every story, and you know, just be patient and, you know, try to see the whole story, you know, see the whole entire issue. And probably one of the, you know, if I had to go back and 30 years ago and say, well, what's the biggest thing you're going to learn in the next 30 years, I guess the hardest part of any business, people probably, you know, in my position or other positions similar to this would find, you know, managing people by far is the hardest part of the business, you know. I joke occasionally and say, you know, killing the insects is the easy part. Going at, physically doing that, it's managing of people is probably the greatest challenge and interesting part of the business.
I would think I've heard that before, and I can understand your perspective. And when you're in a service business where many of the employees that you're talking about are also the face of your firm to your clients, that adds another layer, I think, of challenge to managing that workforce.
Oh, absolutely. And excuse me, we've been very, very fortunate. I mean, in that most of my employees have been with me for a number of years, so I'm probably a lot better off than most, because we try to create an environment that our employees, that, you know, when they take on a truck, it's their, like, their own little route, and like you just mentioned, they are the face of the business. And so we try to give them very personal relationships with our customer and clientele, because when people want to terminate us, they're, you know, it's hard to terminate the employee. It's easy to terminate the corporation, the company from them. But those personal one-on-one relationships, that's what I've tried to instill in our people. You know, if you do your job and you do it right, they're not going to fire them. They have no problem firing me because they don't see me very often. But for the employees and stuff like that. So our employees are very, very good. I've been very fortunate. Probably 40% of our employees have been with us 8 to 10 years or longer. And I have a number of employees that have been here for over 20 years.
Wow. That speaks volumes to the type of place Newport Exterminating is to work and the opportunities that you have, you know, for your people as you continue to kind of change and expand the business. Let's talk about your involvement leading trade associations, you're in support of committees within your industry. You know, what has been your experience of spending this time outside the business, working on these issues that are maybe larger than the business and kind of relating to maybe some governmental issues as well? But what has been the impact back to your business, Newport Exterminating, of you being willing to give your time doing these things away from the business, Curtis?
You're right. Those are huge. We have a straight trade association known as the Pest Control Operators of California. I'm a past president of our state trade association. We're composed, our trade association represents probably about 70% of the entire industry in California. And obviously, and now, which is very dear to me, is I chair our legislative committee. And there's a number of issues that come down facing our industry, particularly that related to the pest control, pesticide issues, particularly now when everybody, you know, we're have to be so much greener, and that's a very untold story that our industry has not done a very good job with, and that's part of my mission. and our trade association's mission now, really, working with legislators, environmentalists, and telling that story. In the 30 years that I've been in the industry, the chemical compositions that we have changed dramatically. We don't have anything like we had 30 years ago. The chemical manufacturers understand this. And the consumers in the state of California, they're asking, they want safer products. And as an industry, we have not done a very good job in telling, the acronym is IPM, which is Integrated Pest Management. And as an industry, we've changed dramatically. When I got in the business 30 years ago, it was very common. We could make one application around a residence, and that would essentially control a lot of insects for a year at a time. And we, as an industry, would only get to make one application. Well, today they're very prescription-type applications. If we go out and make an application for Argentine ants, it's very prescription, precise for Argentine ants. It's only going to control ants pretty much. It's not going to be a broad-reaching. A lot of people ask me, what do you think about it? It's much safer. My employees are safer. Exposure to our customers is minimal. And on the good side, as a business, we have much closer relationships with our customers now. You know, a lot of times we're at the residence, if not monthly, every other month. And they understand that. And I think the consumers, they want that. So it's created a much better, much safer environment. I was very fortunate 10 years ago to work with Kevin Shelley, assemblyman, that had started the Healthy School Act, and we helped draft that language and how we apply pesticides in and around schools. And it's much safer. And our big push today is school districts can hire some of their own janitors to make applications, and they don't have nearly the training that our industry does. So we're on a big push right now to, you know, hire the professional, let the professional go in and make these types of applications and make people aware of all the training and the safety nets that we have. And the big mistake that, you know, janitors and even homeowners would make in their own applications is misidentifying the insect and then buying the wrong insecticide or pesticide and making the wrong application at the wrong time at the wrong place, and usually the success is minimal. And with our training in identifying the right insect and making the right application, we're very successful. It's just our insecticides are not broad-reaching. And part of that, I like to go in, if you don't mind, Rick, it's like there's a real rise now in bed bugs. I don't think there's been a number of articles written about bed bugs. And I think a lot of that is contributing to the way our industry has moved. We're much greener now. We make very precise applications. And if you hire us to make an application just for Argentine ants, it's not going to have any effect at all whatsoever for bed bugs, for instance.
Well, you know, since we had the chance to talk and you suggested that bed bugs were on the rise, I went home and did some basic research and, you know, went to YouTube, which is a great place to find, you know, information. And my goodness, it's shocking, frankly. There are a lot of people talking about this. Until I had a chance to meet with you, I was totally ignorant. I wasn't aware of it at all, but, there are people out there, you know, scientists, et cetera, professors, PhDs, who are very much concerned with what you just touched on there, this evident rise in this bed bug issue, which is kind of, frankly, it's a little bit concerning to me.
You're right. It's extremely concerning, and even for the industry, we were totally caught off guard. This hasn't been part of our vocabulary. There's been minimal problems, you know, in my history in the pest control industry, but in the last 3 or 4 years, we've done extensive training. And Newport Exterminating, we've been very fortunate that we've partnered with UC Berkeley, Dr. Bernard Lewis and Gail Getty. They're probably, Gail Getty particularly, is a renowned entomologist and has done a lot of expert witness work and in the area of bed bugs. So we've employed them to come and do special training for my employees regarding bed bugs. And our company, if we go out to make an application for bed bugs, we only have certain individuals that are highly trained, because it is, and it's a horrible thing if you go through it. It can be very costly. We need extensive cooperation from the residents and occupants of a building to be successful in these applications. And it's a real growing problem. And if anybody does a lot of any kind of travel, be concerned, because it's not just the high-end hotel. I mean, the low-end hotels, it could be the high-end hotels for travelers that can have a problem. We've experienced a number of occasions where you check into a hotel and your hotel rooms are infested. And if you're not aware of it, they can get into your luggage and you can bring them back and reintroduce them into your home. And I've had a number of clients that's occurred, and it could be a very costly proposition to eradicate them out of your home.
I was at our local high school has an annual kind of a garage sale to raise money for the senior party, you know, the for the graduating seniors, and people donate furniture and things. I was talking to some of the people there, because in our conversation, you had mentioned how an associate of yours, I think, bought a picture, and that picture was infested, and that then brought it into their home, I think, if I remember your story correctly. And so it's not even associated sometimes with the bed, right? I mean, it can be many different ways, it sounds like.
Yeah, an associate of ours, her son had purchased a frame at a garage sale, and this was probably about 3 years ago, and brought it home and introduced them into the house, and we missed it the first couple of treatments, the source of them. People may not be aware of bed bugs, but obviously the host is us, and they feed on us. But once they gorge themselves, they can go several weeks without a feeding, if not months at times. And they introduced this picture frame, and we treated. We thought we had no problem under control, and here they were. They were back. It's really taken an extensive training. I mean, it takes a really good technician. So for your listeners, if they've encountered any kind of problems, this would be the area that I would not ever say get the cheap bed and go with it, because they will not solve your problem. One application will never take it. It's a partnership, and you're talking anywhere from 3 to 5 applications, and it's a true partnership in eradicating this problem. And it's growing. In fact, Congress is looking at it, and even the state of California through our UC system, is issuing grants for research in this area. So it's a big problem, and it's one that we haven't seen, wow, you know, for decades. It's been gone, and a lot of that I would contribute to the chemical manufacturers have changed their compositions of chemicals and pesticides that we use, and the way we apply them. We're so specific for certain insects that it isn't broad reaching like it used to be. So that may be the drawback of us getting really green as an industry. But if that's all we have to deal with, hopefully that, I don't know. It is a big problem.
Well, we started on this by me asking you how your involvement in committees and doing work that's larger than your firm has benefited your firm. And certainly you spoke to some of the alliances you have with some of the schools here in California. And I also know from our conversations that, you know, by giving of your time and being on these committees, you are really becoming – you've become very knowledgeable about trends and things that are happening kind of before it hits the mainstream of your industry. Could you spend a minute, Curtis, and just sort of share with our audience other business owners who may be thinking, well, why would I spend the time, you know, traveling and going to these – doing this committee work? Maybe some of the things that you've seen as an opportunity to help – that's helped your firm?
Yeah, it's an outstanding question. Yeah, I think that's why, you know, part of it is why our business is doing very well now, because we have, you know, insight that's 2 and 3 years ahead of businesses that are not involved legislatively. You know, I know the trends and what's happening there. Working with Dr. Bernard Lewis and UC Berkeley, and I've been invited with manufacturers to work on some research and do different studies there. It just gives us a lot of insight, and for my employees, we're just well ahead of the curve. One thing maybe your viewers may not be aware of, that chemical manufacturers, they're not making chemicals. They're not looking down at Newport Exterminating or any companies like mine to say, what chemicals does that, you know, what do we need? That, it just doesn't occur that way. The chemical manufacturers, there's three main products or commodities, and it's corn, wheat, and rice, that they look as chemical manufacturers to get a product that they can use on those three commodities around the world, because those are global markets. And once they find a compound that works in those areas, then they divide it down and say, okay, how will it work on almonds? Will it work over here? And we're the last, as structural pest control people, we're the very last individuals to get an insecticide. So it gives me a lot of insight for, you know, chemical compositions, how it's going to be changing, you know, to make these new applications and techniques. So we do extensive training. I have weekly training meetings with our employees. And so, yes, you're absolutely right. It puts us well ahead of our competition out there.
That's another thing that I didn't realize, Curtis, that because, you know, you sort of think, oh, boy, you know, the residential structural, there's so much of that must be a market in and of itself. But as I've thought about what you've talked about and kind of looked for other data that supports that, it's really true that, you know, these global chemical companies need huge markets to drive innovation, and the huge markets are the things that you talked about, and you guys are sort of your derivative for them. You're an ancillary market, because the volumes just aren't there compared to what the agriculture business uses. So I think that's another learning moment for the listening audience to maybe kind of, you know, get their head around the fact that, you know, there aren't people out there designing, you know, specifically for your application. You benefit from work that's done in other areas. And so as the business owner, is value for you to be involved in those companies working in other areas so that you can, you know, bring that knowledge into your industry, which then benefits your firm, is what I hear you saying. I think that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that your listeners may be not aware of, that to just like pharmaceuticals, and a lot of the pharmaceuticals are the same chemical manufacturers, and it takes literally years to get a product, and if not tens of thousands, it could be over $100 million to get, you know, a pesticide approved, and it goes through a federal EPA, and then if it gets approved there, California, we have our own EPA, so we're the very last to to get an insecticide, and usually the first to lose one. So it's California, we're just, you know, kind of our own little world out here. We operate a little differently, so sometimes it's a little difficult for us. So we see, you know, a lot of products across the nation. Sometimes they start there before we ever even get them.
Interesting. You know, let's look at, if you could spend maybe a couple of minutes, just talk to our audience, Curtis, about one of probably many, as all business owners have in this, you know, day and age, unresolved challenges that are facing your business. And in addition to the challenge, let's, you know, share with us a little bit, you know, what your options might be and what you're kind of thinking about right now as it relates to that unresolved challenge.
Unresolved. I think probably the biggest one, and everybody's probably heard it, you know, the national health care. I provide a portion of, for my employees, you know, health benefits. Just went through a renewal portion for health care. I think on the big picture, you know, just the economy overall, we're seeing a lot of the, you know, homeowners spending less. There's a lot of concern out there, I think, for the businesses today, you know, and I know I'm probably working harder than I have in the past, just doing my more due diligence and paying a lot closer attention to the books and operating profitably. So it is a difficult challenge in this economy, and I've heard people say, well, pests never go away, but I think in everybody's vocabulary today, anybody that's out there writing a contract or homeowner, everybody's looking for, you know, the best possible deal, and we've had to cut some costs somewhere, or, you know, pricing structures to be competitive in certain areas, but we're very fortunate, I think, you know, with knowledgeable people that we have out there that we've employed. We've been very, very fortunate in Orange County here that our employees, in fact, I just went through an audit, and he was amazed. It was a workers' comp audit, and he was amazed at how well we did and what our numbers were above last year. And I think it just shows to, you know, that our sales staff and team is working harder than ever, and they understand the economy, and we're doing everything to do it right and do it better than our competitors and make sure we get value for our product. And we've been very, very, very fortunate with that, with Orange County and our customer base that we have.
Okay. Talk to us about what you see as an outlook for your industry. If you could share some insights at this time, that would be great.
There's always change. I think that's the biggest thing, and I think as most humans, we always resent change, and we dig our heels in, and that's not the case. I think, as a joke I tell a lot of people, when fax machines first started coming out, I dug my heels in, and we had a lot of real estate work we were doing, and a lot of agents were requesting that we fax reports, and I used to chuckle, how fast, you know, why can't mail work? So I understand change. I think change is good, and if you don't adjust to it, it'll run you over. So I think that's where Newport Exterminating, we've been, you know, fortunate enough to be very, very involved legislatively with our trade association. We're well ahead of the change curve, and computers, everybody knows how fast that equipment changes, and so we're adjusting, if not weekly, you know, we're looking at our company annually to make sure that we're on the head of the curve. We just went through what's called a green certification, so we're a green certified company, and we offer all those types of products and services to our clients that want green services, and sometimes, unfortunately, you know, they have to pay more for those types of services, but they are available. And we have them, and I think change is just part of the cycle, and it will always be there.
Do you see, as it relates to the application of the pesticides that you use, is there, you know, you talked a bit about the big bug issue maybe being, you know, because everything is so prescription now, do you see any of that having a, you know, kind of an influence on maybe trends in your industry moving forward?
Oh, totally. There's Yeah, I think we're learning all the time, and bed bugs is a very unusual circumstance for us, and the entire industry is adjusting, and the chemical manufacturers adjusting, and in fact, even the registrants that register our insecticides are even possibly looking at some other insecticides that they banned for certain uses and say, and maybe re-registering some of those with very limited prescription-type applications for bed bugs. So there's always change in techniques and applications. And in fact, we're going to be working with Dr. Bernard Lewis at UC Berkeley on some new studies coming up this summer. Change is there, and I think if you're not changing all the time, and if you just kind of let somebody else do it, you get run right past, and you'll miss all the opportunities.
Yeah, one of our panelists at our executive conference on Tuesday, Ronnie Andrews of the firm Clariant, said, in his mind, there are kind of three type of business people. There are the people that make things happen. There are the people that watch things happen. Then there are the people who wonder what just happened. And so we were talking about dealing with the changes in the economy, and basically he was trying to make the point, and made it well, that, you know, you need to be, sometimes you need to be watching as you collect data, but generally you want to be the person, the company that's out there making things happen, and you never want to be the company that wonders what just happened, because usually that's, you know, bad for the future of your firm.
Yeah, I would agree. I think any good business owners, that's probably, they've learned by that lesson. I think I have in the past, and, you know, watch my competitors go right on past me and, you know, just didn't have a good ear to the ground and wasn't paying attention. And I think that's a good business owner learns that, and hopefully they learn that early on in a career, because it's invaluable in today's market.
So, Curtis, is there anything I didn't ask you about today, either about you or Newport Exterminating, that you would like to share with our audience?
No, again, I guess you're giving me the opportunity right now. I'd say the big thing for consumers out there, anytime you hire our industries, just kind of pay attention, because you are buying a what I call a non-tangible product. It really should be a relationship, somebody that you can count on. And what I mean by that is, you know, you're relying on people to go up into your attics and sub areas to treat things, and that you may have no idea, did they do a really good job? You know, the individual could be very personable. You just need to pay attention. And some of the products that some of our industry uses, if they sound a little bit over the top, I think all of us, our mothers taught us, if it sounds too good to be true, be cautious. And I will leave your audience kind of with that. Just be cautious. If it just sounds too good to be true, just be cautious. Because there has been segments of our industry that over touted certain products that may not work the way that they're saying that they will work. I won't say they won't work, but they just don't maybe work to the level that some people might advocate that they work. And for the most part, our industry is full of a lot of good, hardworking individuals that try to do the very, very best job, and that's what I found in our trade association. That's why I'm so proud to be aligned with these individuals. We're the first to call our own people to the carpet if we see other businesses and doing the wrong thing, and I have a lot of relationships within our industry, and I'm happy to say, you know, I've had calls, and I've called other business owners that, hey, if one of our guys have done something wrong, we'll let each other know. We try to communicate until we, you know, as a business, we can have the opportunity to go make it right. And for the most part, most of the companies are very good, very ethical, but just sometimes just be cautious if things just sound too good to be true.
Okay, thank you. If someone wanted to learn more about Newport Exterminating, how would they do that, Curtis?
Definitely, we have our website, you know, www.newportexterminating.com, or simply you can call 949-261-0700.
Well, I appreciate the time you've taken with us here today to share your thoughts about your industry and educate us more about your firm. It's been fun for me. And so, Curtis Good of Newport Exterminating, thanks for being on Critical Mass, the radio show.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Interesting industry this gentleman is in, and a challenging one too, as you can hear. And if you're if you're curious, not I didn't mean to spend as much time with him on the bed bugs as we did, but I found it so fascinating. And when I did some background research in preparing for this interview, I was frankly, ladies and gentlemen in the audience, just blown away by what I saw out on the internet that supports and expands upon what Curtis was talking about. It is, for those of us that travel frequently, it's somewhat unnerving, to be honest. Something that we didn't think we had to think about, I think we need to think about a little bit. So beware. Well, that's the show for today. That's Critical Mass. This is Critical Mass, the radio show. And next week we have another full complement of exciting guests. I can't believe that we're actually going to be doing a show in April next week. So it's just moving so fast anymore, isn't it? The first quarter is almost over, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope that you are feeling more confident about your business at this point this year than you were at this point last year, and hopefully more confident about what 2010 means to your firm versus what 2009 did to your firm. There is uncertainty out there, and whether you're confident or uncertain, I would suggest you spend some time and consider peer groups for presidents and CEOs or key executives as a possible way to take some of the uncertainty and risk out of your business moving forward. It certainly, and studies have shown, that members of peer groups like Doug, the ones Doug and I run, their firms outperform their industry. And Doug and I believe that's for a number of reasons. Two primarily. One, the type of people that join CEO peer groups are different. They're lifelong learners, open to new ideas, constantly looking to kind of reinvent the business and keep it moving forward. And when you surround that person with nine other people just like him or her, the opportunity for a transformation of the business and the individual is pretty high. So take a look at Critical Mass for Business. Reach out to us if you're interested in being a radio show guest or learning more about what we do here in the Orange County business community, or you would like to join and become welcomed in our community. We're always looking to add other executives from the county to the Critical Mass for Business community. So until next week, when we do this again, here's hoping that all your business decisions moves your business in a positive direction.
You've been listening to Critical Mass, only on octalkradio.net.